Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. Today I have with me as my guest, Dr. Bob Kellerman. Dr. Kellerman, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Could you please tell us a little bit about your life, marriage, ministry, and some of the current ministry projects you're working on, please?
Sure, Dave, and thanks for having me on the podcast. Much appreciated. So last month, my wife, Shirley, and I celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. We met 37 years ago at Baptist Bible College in PA and been best friends ever since. We have two adult children, Marie and Josh, and a daughter-in-law, Andy, and three granddaughters, one born just 24 hours ago, Naomi, Penny, and Phoebe. So we are excited about our grandkids. I serve as the VP of Institutional Development, also the chair of the Biblical Counseling Department at Crossroads Bible College. That's in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Shirley serves as my executive assistant. We also have that ongoing work relationship. Shirley and I are active members at Bethel Church, which is in Crown Point, Indiana. We serve together as biblical counselors. You mentioned projects. One project I'm working on is Book 14, which would be on Martin Luther's pastoral counseling, Counseling Under the Cross.
That sounds really interesting, and congratulations on your grandchild.
Thank you.
Would you please tell us a little bit about your book, Gospel-Centered Counseling, How Christ Changes Lives, why you wrote it, and how you hope it's being received or is being received in this case?
Sure. So Gospel-Centered Counseling is my 12th book, and it's a companion book, really, with my 13th book, which is Gospel Conversations. And here's how they work together. So Gospel-Centered Counseling, the book we're focused on today, highlights a biblical theology of counseling, and Gospel Conversation highlights a biblical methodology of counseling. It's really a lab training manual. So I understand that when people hear that gospel-centered counseling is about theology and they hear the word theology, you know, we often think of that as academic stuff unrelated to life. But you know, theology is simply God's truth about life. So Dave, in gospel-centered counseling, we explore theology in terms of what I call 8 ultimate life questions. So I've taken the basic 10 classic systematic theology doctrines and turned them into 8 life questions. So quickly, here they are. So the first one concerns God's word. And the question is, where do we find wisdom for life in a broken world? Second question is about the Trinity. Whose view of God will we believe, Christ or Satan? Question 3 concerns creation. You think of creation, fall, redemption. The creation question is not just a universal question, who am I, but we word it as an eternal question, whose am I? Then question 4 about the fall into sin, what's the root source of our problem? Question 5 concerning redemption or salvation is how does Christ change people? Question 6 is concerning the church, where do we find a place to believe, belong, and become? Question 7 is about eternity, heaven. How does our future destiny with Christ make a difference in our lives today? And the final question, really everything builds toward this is about progressive sanctification. How do we become more like Christ? So all of those questions kind of come together, Dave, to the last part of your question, which is why I wrote GCC, Gospel-Centered Counseling. I really wrote it to help people understand how rich and robust, relevant, and relational God's word is for everyday life. I even thought about naming it the Gospel for Everyday Life.
How do we apply the gospel to suffering?
That's a great question. I think it's a great question because we typically think about the gospel only applied to our sin, which obviously it is, but it is applied to suffering. In the beginning of gospel-centered counseling, I quote Frank Lake, who in the 60s was a British Christian psychiatrist. He explains, and here's his quote, "Pastoral care is defective unless it can deal thoroughly both with the evils we have suffered and with the sins we've committed." So in gospel-centered counseling, we address both the evils we've suffered, suffering part, and the sins we've committed. So here's how gospel-centered counseling applies the gospel to suffering. As I look at the scriptures and my own life and my counseling, in suffering, Satan is hissing at and whispering his lies to us. And they often sound like Job's wife who says, curse God and die, and like Job's miserable counselors whose basic theology was kind of God's a tit-for-tat God. God's sovereign. He allows evil and suffering into your life. He must not love you. So gospel-centered counseling steps into that picture of Satan's lies and answers those lies with grace and truth. Here's one of the ways I summarize it, Dave, in the book. The gospel teaches us that in suffering, God is not getting back at us. He is getting us back to himself. I think that bears repeating. In suffering, God is not getting back at us. He's getting us back to himself. The gospel is God's once-for-all declaration. God is for us and not against us. I mentioned an upcoming book on Martin Luther's counseling, and we think of him as that great reformer and addressing sin and justification, but he spent a great deal of time, Dave, talking about about just what we're saying here. He would have quotes and images of God like the love of a mother, like his wife Katie to their daughter, God with the love of a father, and God is not against us, but he's for us. And so really what we need to do in the gospel is we need to understand that as Satan tempts us to turn our backs on God because we think God's turned his back on us, the gospel turns us back to God, like the prodigal, so that we can face our suffering face to face with God, the face of Christ.
That's wonderful. What is a gospel-centered approach to growing in God's grace?
Well, the book subtitle, I think, begins to address that question, Dave. That subtitle is How Christ Changes Life. In a lot of biblical counseling, we talk about how people change, and I understand that terminology. I've used it, but I think it's even more powerful to think about how Christ changes life. So in gospel-centered counseling, we focus on that work of Christ that enables us to change in Christ's power. So in other words, growth in grace or sanctification is a both and. It's a work of God as he works in us and as we respond to his work.
What trends do you see in church-based counseling ministry?
Yeah, I've been pondering that question, and a lot of times at the end of the year, I'll write about top three trends, and so I'm thinking kind of about three significant trends. The first trend is a movement away from the idea that we have to refer everyone out to outside experts. If the Bible truly is rich and robust and relevant for daily living, as gospel-centered counseling teaches, then it's sufficient to help us to speak gospel truth and love so we all grow up in Christ. I mean, that's what Ephesians 4:11-16 is all about. So this first trend really involves a growing confidence in the power of God's word and in the church's power to change lives with Christ's angelus truth. The second trend I see is a movement away from the pastor doing all the work of counseling to the pastor equipping God's people to be competent to counsel. Now in Ephesians 4 that we just mentioned, God doesn't call pastors and church leaders to afford the ministry. He calls pastors to equip the saints to do what? To speak gospel truth and love. And so increasingly I'm seeing pastors, churches, Bible college, seminary, focusing on every member ministry, one another ministry, a small group ministry, where we're all equipped to counsel. You know, one example of this is our counseling program at Crossroads Bible College that I chair. We don't call it a biblical counseling department. We call it the Biblical Counseling and Equipping Department. So I don't want students to graduate from that program simply able to counsel. I want those students to be able to equip others to be competent biblical counselors. And the third trend is one maybe that's less talked about, but perhaps is most exciting, and its movement toward counseling is a ministry not only for the congregation where we do biblical counseling for members in our church, but counseling for our community. An example of this is Faith Church in Lafayette, Indiana, under the leadership of Pastor Steve Byers, a good friend. Their ministry has 25 biblical counselors, and typically on a Monday, counseling about 100 people. And about 75 of those 100 people are not from their church. They're people from the community. Biblical counseling is missional. It's for outreach. It's evangelistic. It's all about engaging and impacting our community for Christ. And I mean, if we think about it, the gospel truly has answers for everyday living, as gospel-centered counseling indicates. And we shouldn't be hoarding those answers within the church. We should be sharing those answers with a desperately needed world through gospel-centered counseling. So that third trend is really taking the church to the street, taking the Bible, the gospel, not only evangelistically, but to help people in their daily lives.
That's wonderful. I love hearing that. What areas of opportunity do you see today in the biblical counseling movement as a whole?
I think to answer that question, it might be helpful to think a little bit about a phrase that often been used in the small group movement. Small group movement has never wanted to be a church with small groups, but always wanted to be a church of small groups. If we think about that, a church with small groups may have small groups dotted across the congregation, sprinkled here and there as one program within the church, but it's not a church of small groups where that fellowship within small groups is central to everything that happens in the body of Christ. And I think in the same way, increasingly in biblical counseling, we don't want just biblical counseling to be churches with biblical counseling. We want churches of biblical counseling. The church with biblical counseling would be a church where a pastor and a few others have a couple of offices and they do some formal weekly scheduled counseling. That's wonderful. That's much better than just the pastor doing the work of the ministry. But I don't even think that's enough. You know, the vision is for the entire church. So a church of biblical counseling is a church that saturated with the biblical counseling mindset. Of course, that kind of leads to a follow-up question, well, what is that biblical counseling mindset? I think in a event where everyone is confident in the authority and relevance of God's word, spoken in love everywhere, at Starbucks, at McDonald's, in a small group, in a formal counseling office, over the backyard, in the living room, parent, children, husband, wife. And it's also a mindset where everyone, as we already talked about, is equipped and competent to relay God's truth to human relationships. That really goes back to probably the verse that launched the new Tedic biblical counseling movement, the modern movement in the 70s with Jay Adams and Bill Good, Romans 15:14. Paul speaking to those house churches dotting the countryside of Rome, and he's saying, I myself am convinced that you yourself are complete in knowledge, competent to counsel, full of goodness. Paul saw the average ordinary believer in Rome as competent counsel. I really think that that's a great opportunity and a great trend in biblical counseling. These churches where every member is doing one another ministry. It's really reminding people of the gospel every day and helping to apply that to those sin or suffering in those sentences.
Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share about your book, Dr. Kellerman?
Well, a couple thoughts, Dave, and I appreciate that opportunity. First, I have, I don't know how many, hundreds of free resources at my website and dozens related to gospel-centered counseling, including a free 50-page discussion guide. So people buy the book, they're starting to look through the 8 ultimate life questions. They want to apply that in their own lives or in a small group setting. That discussion guide is free, and listeners can download that resource and dozens of others at www.rpmministries.org. rpmministry.org. And maybe the final word I would give to my good friend Randy Patton, who's been a leader in the biblical counseling movement for decades. He was gracious to craft one of the endorsements for gospel-centered counseling, and I'll just let him kind of have that last word. Here's what Randy says about the book. Gospel-centered counseling is like a smart pump. That is, it can be helpful in multiple ways. Beginning biblical counselors will benefit from the case studies which model how to minister the word rather than just sensing it. Experienced counselors will be prompted to evaluate whether or not their counseling truly reflects the major theme of the scriptures with appropriate application problems of life and living. Leaders others will find in gospel-centered counseling a book that teaches theology in a warm, equipping for life fashion. Preachers will find seeds of helpful sermon seed in a series, and every reader will be more thankful for Christ and for the good news of the gospel. I think Randy captures very well the heartbeat of gospel-centered counseling, how Christ changes lives.
Dr. Kellerman, thank you so much for your time today and also for writing so well on this topic to help us as Christians be equipped to, you know, serve other people that are hurting and struggling and need encouragement. So I really appreciate that. And I'm sure others do as well. I know others do as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Dave, for the encouraging words.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Equipping You in Grace. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating on iTunes and share it across your social media outlets. I want to thank you once again for listening to this episode. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.